I'd like to open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 is where we'll start. And at verse 15, it speaks of us giving glory to God. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man's renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, I want to focus in on what's brought out here at verse 18, where some things are eternal and some things are temporary. And the things of this world are going to pass away. They are temporary. But the things of the Spirit are eternal. Your spirit will live forever, whether it's heaven or hell, but your spirit is eternal. And the things of this world can all change in a moment's time. Sometimes people think, oh, they're enjoying something good with life, and something happens, and everything's like turned upside down, the rug pulled out from under them, and what have you. Especially if there's a war, you know, people can be coasting along a certain way, and everything's changed, everything's uprooted. Nothing of this world really is the way it seems to be. We need to recognize that Satan's called the angel of light. He's the god of this world, and he can influence destruction in this world and influence men to do evil things. There's a lot of evil things working in the world, and it's all linked directly to Satan and demonic spirits. Now, at the same time, the Spirit of God is working, and there are eternal things, and his word ever lives. His word's from everlasting to everlasting. His word is eternal. It does not change. So that which we would build upon needs to be the word of God. We need to build upon eternal things and not try to build on the temporal things. He goes on here and speaks about having an earthly house or a body, a tabernacle. And if that's gone, there's a building of God, verse 1, eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought the same selfsame thing, God, who has given to us the earnest of the Spirit, therefore we are always confident, knowing while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." Now he mentions here a confidence that we have, and that confidence is in the Spirit of God. He speaks here that we have the earnest of the Spirit, or that's like a down payment. Yes. A down payment. Or, you know, there used to be stores used to have what they call layaway. I remember my wife saying back when she was younger, you'd pick something out and lay it away till you got enough money to get it. And you may put some money down, they'd hold it for you. Well, the Holy Spirit's been given as like a down payment for the kingdom of God that's been given to us. So we know we have eternal life because of the Holy Spirit within us. It's not based on outward things, physical things, but because we know he lives within us, we have eternal life. Now, I wanted to give these verses for a little context here. About, I don't know, a month or two ago, there was a revival broke out in Kentucky, and it was at a college called Asbury. And the interesting thing is the charismatic revival like 53 years before, broke out at this Asbury College, or was one of the places the Spirit of God was beginning to move. And you had young people just gathering, worshiping the Lord, singing hymns, spiritual songs to the Lord, and worshiping Him. And God began to move among the people, and many were filled with the Spirit, and their life was changed. Well, like I say, a month or two ago, the Spirit of God began to move at that college again. And it was reported on the news. You could have gotten on YouTube. You probably still could, because most things like that, they don't go away. But they were showing video of a lot of college-age students just worshiping the Lord day and night, day and night. It was ongoing, and I think it might have went for like a week or two, just continuous worship of the Lord. And there was like interviews, some of these young people, how their life was changed because they encountered the Spirit of God. They encountered Him. And the news network that we tend to watch has some believers as news anchors, and many are not. But there are some that are, who openly confess Jesus Christ right over the air. And I praise God for that, because you know, there's people listening that maybe wouldn't go to a church, and you have some news anchor confess to Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior. And you had this revival going on, once again God moving. But what struck me was the one gentleman who was a news anchor, who obviously is not a believer. He said, you know, he was trying to sort of report on it and do what he was being told to cover it. But it doesn't take more than about 5 seconds to tell by someone's language if they have any clue what they're even seeing. And it was obvious he had no clue what was going on. He has had some religious background and was very much caught up in everything going on in this world. And at the end of the report, you know, they're showing video clips of all this. He said, and I quote, "We need to get back to reality now. Which meant all the bad things happening in this world, that's his reality. Reality to him was a continuous flow of trouble and evil and fighting and bickering and all that kind of thing. That was reality to him. In his mind, he's covering reality. When the things of this world and what's happening in this world are not reality, they can be manipulated by Satan or by man. That's why he's called the great deceiver. And he's working to deceive people, to create the appearance of something. We need to discern things for exactly what they are. Jesus said to judge righteous judgment. Don't judge by appearance. If we judge by appearance, we're going to be deceived. And that's the realm the deceiver works in. And there are people who learn in growing up, they learn to present the appearance of something when in reality, that's not what is really there. You know, when it comes to relationships, I've learned over the years, I want to know exactly what I have and where I stand. I don't want to be deceived by the appearance of something. But I want that which is real and true. And the only thing that's real and true is that which is based upon the truth. Truth is synonymous with reality. The Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Truth. We only know reality by Him. And reality is that which exists in the Spirit. Now, God wants to reveal the things of the kingdom of God, the things of Him. He wants to make heaven real to us. Why doesn't He just show us all everything? He reveals Himself to those who have a deep yearning. Yes. And that comes out here in these verses. We're groaning. We have an earnest, a yearning to know Him. And where what man would call revival. Many times people just begin to be moved by the appearance of something, and that doesn't mean someone actually encountered the Lord. But if they are, what's going to facilitate that is a yearning, Lord, I've got to have you. Nothing else will do. And there's a yearning and cry of the heart. Now, in these verses here, it speaks of us yearning for our heavenly building, our new body, new heaven, new earth, yearning for that. And God, by the Holy Spirit, wants to reveal those things to us. But he only does so to the degree there's a sincere desire and yearning within you. And God can make himself known to someone who doesn't really know anything. But do they yearn for that? Many times what happens as people are Christians for a while, they get satisfied. Because if you draw near to God, you're going to get blessed. How much blessing can you take till you get satisfied with that and no longer yearn for more of him? That's the question we have to face. Are we just content in this life or yearning for more and more of him? So that's the basis of what we would call revival. And the eternal things are forever. The things of this world shall pass away. Our own body is in a process of death. But we will receive a new body and go to the new heaven and new earth. We have heaven before us. And what we need is our eyes to be open to see reality, the reality of life in the Spirit, the reality of God. And it changes everything for us. You know, there's lots of angels here today. I'm not talking about a person who's nice and makes you a piece of cake. You know, in the world, there's people calling that angels. Angels are created beings who exist to bring glory and honor and praise to God. And part of their work is helping us while we're on this earth. That's reality. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Syria was sent armies to take down Elisha the prophet, because God was revealing the king's plans for war before he ever even got out of his chamber to do anything. And he determined, we've got to kill this prophet. And he had armies sent to Jerusalem to take down Elisha. So I'm just making reference to 2 Kings chapter 6. And the servant of Elisha sees this whole host, this whole army, and fear begins to strike his heart. And Elisha wasn't moved by it at all. And he says, open his eyes to see. He said, there's a heavenly host with us. Open his eyes to see. And his eyes were open. He saw his whole host of angels and chariots. And greater was all the angels with them than all the armies of Syria. See, his eyes were open to see reality in a spirit. And therefore, there is no place for fear. There are things that are reality in a spirit. We need to have our eyes open to all of that. And Ephesians chapter 1, Paul brings out about the plan of God, his plan and his purpose. That he wanted a family that would know him. He wanted us to be sons and daughters of God, redeemed by the blood, having been forgiven all of our sin, made new. And he wants to present us blameless in love before him. So he goes on chapter 1 and prays that the eyes of their understanding, I'm quoting from verse 17, the eyes of their understanding be opened, that they might receive wisdom and revelation knowledge in him. Of three things are mentioned: the hope of his calling, God has given us a hope to enter into his family, to be born of him, to be a child of God, a new creature in Christ. The old things are passed away. You're not bound to your sin. This is reality for us. Reality, I'm a brand new creature, forgiven and cleansed, created in holiness and righteousness. That's reality. He goes on to say that we would know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He is preparing a bride of Christ, and he is inheriting us. He's inheriting a people. His son died to give birth to a people, to whoever call on him and believe upon him. He has a people. And he says, in fact, I'll turn there quick, Ephesians. Ephesians 1:19. And we would know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The exceeding greatness. Watch out when God uses adjectives to enhance something. The exceeding greatness of his power. And the word power here is speaking to inherent power. Inherent power to us who believe, which is according to the working of his mighty power or his manifest power. He manifests his power in raising Jesus Christ from the dead and giving him victory over Satan, over death, over hell, raising him up out of death to newness of life. He manifests that. We understand the reality of what's in us by beholding Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit has been given to you, put in you. That's reality for us. A destiny's been established for us of heaven. It goes on to say we are seated with him in heavenly places. In terms of authority, we're raised up with him over sin, death, and devils. That's reality. That's what's real. When we get a glimpse of God and see that which is real, there is a boldness and a confidence that will arise within us because we know the truth. You know, it says, continue to my word, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set free from what? All the deception, the lies, the intimidation, the fear. The things that govern and enslave the people of this world. We're freed from that. We're raised up with him. We identify with him. When we see that which is real, it changes everything for us. I remember 1982, we had Bible school, and there was a gentleman named Fred Schrader. He was dying of cancer. And he had some, Brother Hagen, different ones, pray for him. Brother Hagen picked him out of a crowd at the camp meeting, pointed his finger, and the power of God hit him, picked him off his feet, threw him like 20 feet in the air up against the back wall. And the last day he was alive on earth, my wife and I commented, did you see Fred? He got glimpses of heaven. We knew this in our spirit. And he came, it's like he was saying bye, going on a long trip. You know, you have your last goodbye with a loved one. And it's like he was saying goodbye to us with this big grin on his face. And we knew, we said to each other, he saw glory. He saw heaven. Did you see that on his face? And he couldn't wait to go. That night, his wife, Mary, found him slumped in the bathroom. He's gone. And she was going to raise him from the dead. And that woman had the faith to do it. She had the faith to do it. And she goes to pick him up. The Lord said, let him go. He wanted to go home. He wanted to come home. He was just getting prayer for you to feel good. He wanted to go home. See, you don't override the desire in people. God himself does not override desire. The things you desire and believe when you pray, you shall receive. See, it starts with strong desire. Your strongest desires move you in life. They rule you. Many times people lie to themselves and say they want this or they want that. But when we yearn for him, there's nothing's going to satisfy me but his presence. That moves us to press in. We lay hold of the presence of God. We're not thinking about all the things of this world we want to do or need to do. It begins to consume our heart. And for many, those kind of words are just like cliche. Just cliche. And people sing those things and never really experience it. But when there's a true yearning in our heart, nothing else will do. When the Lord told Mary, he said, let him go. He wanted to come home. But see, and she shared that later, and we knew he saw glory. There's a story, I think his name was Bruch, they called him Bruchko, missionary in Colombia. And the guerrillas had captured him. This is back when he used to capture people and try and get big ransom money. Then years later, they'd say, okay, 24 hours, get us $20,000 or he's dead. Because to haul somebody around waiting for the big money was risky for them. Well, anyway, they were carting this Bruchko around jungles and that. And his eyes were open to see glory. He saw the angels. And they gave him a shovel. They're going to have him dig his own grave and then shoot him, throw him in. And he's worshiping the Lord. And he got glimpses of heaven. And he starts digging faster and faster. He's digging like a wild man, digging this grave for himself. And he think, what's wrong with this guy? He saw glory. He saw his destiny. He saw where he was going. There's nothing could compare. One of the things that's often fascinates me is hearing from people who've gone to heaven, who are allowed to visit and come back and tell us. It's in the Bible. John the Apostle, in particular, at great length. Paul spoke about it. He experienced that. There's others experience that. That's reality. Heaven's eternal. The Spirit of God's eternal. He put a down payment of the Holy Spirit in you that you can know you're connected to heaven. You're connected to the kingdom of God. You're connected to the living God. So if people have gone there and begin to tell, and they can't find words. They can't find words many times to try to describe it all. To be in the presence of the Creator, the Almighty God. And there are things in the Word that speak of the fruit of the Spirit, that in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is perfect peace. In His presence there's nothing but pure love. There's nothing like that. That's what you were created for. You were created for those things. So as we learn to abide in him, we tap into the reality of the Spirit and our desire to bring that into this world. When Jesus spoke of prayer, he said to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven." How is it in heaven? What do you know of heaven? The kingdom of God's in heaven, and he made the way we can bring that to this earth. He brought it to earth in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and sending the Holy Spirit to impart the things of the kingdom to us. Thy kingdom come, come forth. As we obey him, as we keep his commandments, there's the manifestation of life. You see, manifestation is based on obedience. John 14, verse 21 and 23 are very clear to that. Our obedience to him, our love for him. In heaven, we get glimpses of heaven. Everything exists for the glory of God. Everything exists and is completely given over to bringing a praise or a glorification of God. That's how it is in heaven. That's how it is there. That's what the Bible shows us. All the angels, every created being, every redeemed person continues to bring praise and honor and glory to God. And he allows us to see that the more real heaven is to us, the more we begin to live for the day we stand before him. We're not living for this world or the pleasures of this life. They mean so little. The more you experience the presence of the Lord, the less the things of this world mean to you. The more we know of him, we yearn for more. More, more, more of him. And the Holy Spirit's been given to open our eyes to see and to know that reality. What's reality to you? Is it pain and suffering? The horrors of sin? The work of demons? Or is it the kingdom of God, knowing him? And he brings out in his verses there, all the negative things work for our good. Because even though we're experiencing death in the natural, we all the more value and appreciate life in the spirit. And that's what's real. That's what I want to lay hold of. I hate being deceived. I don't like people playing games, deceiving. I want that which is real. And the things built on the word and the kingdom of God are real. They are real. That's reality. What's your reality? What's reality to you? It's the kingdom of God.